ఆత్మమీ శుద్ధంతం జ్యోతిరహం విరజ విపాప్మ భూయాసం అంతరాత్మమీ శుద్ధంతం జ్యోతిరహం విరజ విపాప్మ భూయాసం పరమాత్మమీ శుద్ధంతం జ్యోతిరహం విరజ విపాప్మ భూయాసం ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. మే మై బాడీ బికమ్ ప్యూర్. May I be free from impurities and ignorance. May I realize myself as the light divine. May my mind become pure. May I be free from impurities and ignorance. May I realize myself as the light divine. May my soul become pure. May I be free from impurities and ignorance. May I realize myself as the light divine. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. పీస్ 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 బెల్ట్ వర్క్. We started our retreat on Ramakrishna's instructions to his disciples. This study covered several disciples of the Master. Today also we shall try to cover some of them. As I always say, that these disciples are very special people, extremely different from average human beings. Today, first, we shall start with Swami Turiyananda. Sri Ramakrishna asked him, "What do you want? Why did you come here?" "I want God." "Wonderful. Young man, ...20 years old, in 1883. Wonderful. But he saw Sri Ramakrishna in 1875 in Dinanath Bosu's house when he was a little boy. He was watching his eyes, face. Yes, he would succeed. First thing it just struck me when he was, from his boyhood, he was studying Vedanta. And then he used to think Vedanta, Atman alone is real, this world is not real, this body is nothing, these, all these things. Then do you know what happened? He went to take bath in the Ganges. And all of a sudden he saw a crocodile came near the bathing ghat and all people shouting, "Crocodile, crocodile, run away, run away." He ran away. He got up from the water. Then he was thinking, "What? Do I not say I am the Atman? Nobody can kill me." Again he jumped into the Ganges. At that time crocodile there. It shows what kind of temperament. Meaning my speech and my action must coincide. That is extremely important in the spiritual life. Sri Ramakrishna encouraged him, "Continue your sadhana." Then as usual, you see, when you have a human body, a human feelings will be there. You cannot help it. Swamiji used to tell, "Do you know what is the difference between the sane and the insane? The difference is very little. The sane has a control and the insane has no control. That is the only difference between the sane and the insane." As a human being, your passion, your habits, you have some control. Insane people do not have control. So he was asking, he said, do you know what happened to my life? One verse of Shankara changed my whole life. And that verse is, jivan mukti sukha prapti hetave janma dharitam atmana nitya mukti nanatu samsara kam maya. That verse changed my whole life. It is called Shastru Kripa. Kripa, grace comes from four places. First, Guru Kripa, grace of the Guru. Ishwar Kripa, grace of God. Do you feel the grace of God? You are breathing air. Who created air? You drink water. Who created water? This is Ishwar Kripa. We are alive in this world because by God's grace. If you do not breathe 5 minutes, you will die. 5 minutes, only 5 minutes. That is Ishwar Kripa. Guru Kripa, grace of the Guru. Then, Shastra Kripa, grace of the scripture. Fourth, Atma Kripa, grace of your own self. Thakur used to say, Guru Krishna Vaishnava, Tiner Daya Holo, Akir Daya Vinajip, Char Kharigal. You have the grace of Guru, God, and Vaishnava, devotees, but you did not contribute your grace. So you will be nowhere. Atma Kripa. So this Shastra Kripa, why are you born in this world? What for? If you are the Atman, Atman has no desire, then why are you born in this world? What for? Jivan mukti sukha prapti hetave janma dharitam. I am born in this world to experience jivan mukti, freedom while living in this physical body. That is the greatest achievement of Vedanta philosophy, jivan mukti. So he says, janma dharitam, atmana nitya mukti na. Atma is the nitya mukti, ever free. Not to samsara kammaya, it has no desire for the worldly things. So this is the reason I was born. So his goal was to attain jivan mukti in this very life. Young boy, with this intention came to Sri Ramakrishna, his guru. Then in the Bhagavatam, it says, kamam hridrogam. Lust is a disease of the heart. It comes and goes. When a lustful thought, that does not mean that you are a bad person. It comes in the previous life, samskaras. If you watch your mind, you will find so many thoughts are coming. Good, bad, all these thoughts are coming. Yogis see it. So here's the lustful thought came, so she asked, sir, how can one become completely free from lust? Sri Ramakrishna replied, why should it go, my boy? Give it turned in another direction. What is lust? It is a desire to get. So desire to get God and strengthen this desire greatly. Sri Ramakrishna's way of teaching was simple, natural and very effective. He did not ask his disciples to mortify themselves. He said, the more you go towards the east, the farther you will be away from the west. The more you increase your love for God, the more your lust and anger and jealousy will decrease. Turiyananda Horinath says that he was not at all interested in women. In fact, he could not bear them. To this, Sri Ramakrishna replied, you talk like a fool, looking down upon women. Why? They are the manifestations of the Divine Mother. Bow down to them with respect. That is the only way to escape from their snares. How Sri Ramakrishna is teaching his disciples. Do not hate women. Sir, how does one become aware of the dawn of knowledge? Ramakrishna replied, a man does not jump about when he gets illumination. Outwardly he remains as he was, but his entire perspective of the world is changed. The touch of the philosopher's stone converts a steel sword into gold. It retains its former shape, but it can no longer kill. It has become soft. Gold is a very soft metal. You see, somebody asked Swami Sarvadananda Maharaj, could you tell me that, you know, I am not changing anything, God? Bully, do you want four hands? It will be difficult for you to lie down. If you have four hands, how will you sleep? You want change? I want change. Somebody asked him, Brahmananda Maharaj, I am coming here last 20 years, I am not getting anything. Oh, you are coming here 20 years. You nag with Babu Ramda and Babu Ramda and Mahapurush. They'll have to listen all those things. Then in the afternoon, a big congregation gathering, Maharaj was seated there and Mahapurush Maharaj. Tarupda, Mahapurush Maharaj, he was older. Tarupda, this devotee in the morning came to me and said that 20 years he is coming here, he is not getting anything. You answer. Then Mahapurush Maharaj said, Maharaj, don't listen to them. They get something they do not know. No. He complained. In the morning, some devotees always complain. Then Mahapurush, then Swami Brahmananda told him, listen, if you would not get something here, you would not come here second time. Mm-hmm. You get something for the reason you come again and again.
Right.
I remember when you were talking about complaint, somebody asked Swami Bijñānanda Maharaj, I want initiation. Mm-hmm. Initiation? I can initiate you on condition. Well, what is the condition? You promise that you will not write any letters to me. People complain. I can initiate you on condition. Thakur's disciples are interesting. So he was busy at home. He stopped coming to Sri Ramakrishna, Turiyananda. What he was practicing? Brahma Satya Jagan Mitha. Brahman alone is real, this world is unreal. Reading high Vedanta philosophy, this. You please try to understand these two words of Vedanta. Asat, Mitha. Asat means the thing which does not exist and you cannot see. That is called asat. And mitha means it does not exist but you can see. That is the difference between asat and mitha. Asat means, example, son of a barren woman or horn of a man. We have not seen any horns of human beings. So It is asat. It does not exist and you do not see. And mitha means it does not exist but you can see. Mirage. When the sun reflects on the sand, you can see from a distance, you think perhaps there is water. But there is no water. Or if silver on the mother of pearl, that when sun shines on the seashell, it glitters like sterling silver. But it is not silver. But you can see silver there. That is called mitha. So this whole world you see, it is all mitha. you can see a man, woman, trees, plants, all these things. Actually, they do not real. The Swami, my stomach, my hunger is real, my headache is real, my sleep is real, my car is real, my husband, wife, my children, family, they all are real to me. Then they will define. Do you know what is reality? Reality is the thing which exists all the time, past, present and future. When you go to deep sleep, where does your husband and wife and children, car, money, where do they go? And when you come back from deep sleep, again they come in the mind. So everything is in the mind. The moment you deep sleep, thus, the world disappears. And when you come back from sleep, world appears. So he was practicing that Vedanta philosophy. Then what happened? He stopped coming. So one day, he met in Balaram's house. Hello, I hear if you studying Vedanta and you do not come and see me, tell me what is Vedanta. God alone is real, the world is not unreal. World is unreal. That is Vedanta. Is it not true? Yes. Then he said, then Sri Ramakrishna sang a song. Kushilavle kurishki gaurav amina dharadile ki parij dhorite. When Hanuman went to Kushi and Love, and Kushi and Love bound Hanuman. And Hanuman was telling, if you are Ramchandra's son, for that reason I allowed you to catch me. Do you think anybody can catch me? It is my compassion that I let you catch me and tie me. It is without God's grace, one cannot have that knowledge of Brahman. If mother does not open the door of Nirvana, nobody can attain it. God's grace is very important. When he said that, tears came from Turiyananda's eyes. He was denying the Maya aspect, Shakti aspect of God. Sri Ramakrishna's guru also did the same thing. And the Totapuri went to commit suicide, jumping into the Ganges. He denied Maya, Shakti. Read that portion in the Divine Play. Then one day he came to Dakshineshwar and saw that Sri Ramakrishna is eating different vegetables and various kinds of dishes. So, then he was thinking, my guru is enjoying food very much. Then Thakur, he can read you, everybody's mind. You know, the natural tendency of my mind to merge into the infinite. In pointing this food, I point this food, a little I take, and that is the way I bring my mind down. I shall eat bitter squash curry. I shall eat that one. In this way, I create desire. I have no desire. And if I have no desire, I immediately will merge into samadhi. So I have to create desire. I mean, tamak khabo, I shall smoke hubble bubble. I mean, jol khabo, pan khabo, I mean, ei shukto khabo. I am creating desire. So that my mind remains into the world. Otherwise, its natural tendency is to soar high. He's telling his disciples that don't think that I am jumping for food, you know. Why there is so much suffering in this world? Sri Ramakrishna. I shall read this one. One day at Dakshineshwar, the master said to me, go to the Panchavati. Some devotees had a picnic there. See if they had left anything behind. If you find anything, bring it here. I went and found an umbrella in one place, a knife in another place, and some other articles. I gathered them up and took them to the master. The knife had been borrowed from him. I was just placing it on the shelf when he said, "Where are you putting it?" Not there. Put it underneath this small beige stitch. That is where it belongs. You must put everything in its proper place. Suppose I need the knife during the night. If you put it anywhere else, you please, I will go around and room in the dark, stretching out my arms in search of it, wondering where you put it. Is such service a service? No. You do things as you like, and thereby only cause trouble. If you want to serve properly, you should completely forget yourself. Actually, the story is, he is there. There is a little bit background of the story. Some young boys came from Calcutta, and they wanted to do a picnic in Panchavati, and came to Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, we brought all vegetables, fruits, and all these things. We forgot to bring a knife. We want to borrow your knife." Sri Ramakrishna said, "I can give you a knife, but on condition you let me bring it back." Of course, sir. "Listen, I'm telling you, you must bring my knife back." "Yes, sir." "Listen, I want my wife back when you are through." "Yes, sir." And Turiyananda was standing there, and he was listening. The master was repeating the same thing 3 times. Why is Sri Ramakrishna? He was a little bit irritated with Sri Ramakrishna. Then what happened? Those boys finished their picnic, and in the afternoon they left for Calcutta. They did not come back to return the knife. Then in the evening, he sent Turiyananda, "My boy, please bring my knife." He went there. Among the peels on the vegetable peels, there he found the knife, he brought it, wash it. He's giving a lesson. These boys, he knew that they will not bring it back. Irresponsible. And his disciple was irritated, so he is giving a lesson. "Now go wash it. Put it there. Where will you put?" In his bed in Dakshineswar, below the each leg there are 2 bricks. Why? They will clean his room with a broomstick, and then they will put a bucket of water, and then they wash it. And if the water touches the wooden leg, it would be rotten. So there are 2 pieces of bricks, two above the floor. In the southwest corner, on that brick, my knife stays there. That knife I use it 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, when I cut my twigs to brush my teeth. With that corner, it should be there. No electricity. Early in the morning, room is dark. He's simply like a blind person, he can go and touch his knife. So I want the knife at the right place. Don't put here and there. Then what shall I search and search? You see, most of the people, we put things in different places, and how much waste of time we do. Mm-hmm. We had a devotee in St. Louis. Her name is Virginia. She will invariably lose her car key. So we have 3 keys for her. One Virginia's, another with Bob, another in our center. 3 places we keep key. And Virginia will move around. "Where is my key? Where is my key?" Then at least one will come so that he can start her car. Very forgetful. So how Sri Ramakrishna taught? Jaigar jinis, jaigar agbe. The thing which you take, that thing is shoes, it should be in its proper place. Whatever you pain, knife, whatever you put, it should be in the proper place. Otherwise you will search around. I have 3,000 books. I know my books are, when people clean it and misplace it, I get confused. But I know where my books are, you know. I do not have any catalog, but I know where my books are. Sometimes now it is too much to handle, I have to search. Anyhow. Sir, why is there so much suffering in the world? Sri Ramakrishna. The world is the Leela, divine play of God. It is like a game. In this game, there are joys and sorrow, virtue and vice, knowledge and ignorance, good and evil. The game cannot continue if sin and suffering are altogether eliminated from creation. In the game of hide and seek, one must touch the granny in order to be free. But the granny is never pleased if she is touched by the very outset. It is God's wish that the play should continue for some time. Harinath, Turiyanambu. But this play of God is our death. Sri Ramakrishna smiling. Please tell me who you are. God alone has become all this. Maya, the universe, living beings, and the 24 cosmic principles. As the snake, I bite. And as the charmer, I cure. It is God himself who has become both Vidya and Avidya. He remains deluded by the Maya of Avidya, ignorance. Again, with the help of the Guru, he is cured by the Maya, Vidya, knowledge. You see, Maya has two departments, Vidya Maya, Avidya Maya. With Avidya Maya, he will snare you, he will delude you, confuse you. And Vidya Maya will bring knowledge, illumination. Vidya Maya is a spiritual life. You know, I want to meditate, I want to practice spiritual discipline. That is Vidya Maya. And Avidya Maya, worldly desire. Very interesting. Swami Trigunatitananda. Do you know how his life changed? Losing his gold watch. In the examination, he lost his gold watch, very depressed. A.M. brought him to Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna, in front of his all friends, he says, bring a jar of water and wash my feet. He was coming from a very rich landlord's family. The servants washed the fish. He kept quiet. Bring a jar of water and wash my feet. Third time, when Sri Ramakrishna said, he went and brought a jar of water and washed Sri Ramakrishna's feet. All right, now you can go. Come here again. He wants first, he will smash his ego. I am coming from a rich family at this. Smash the ego first. I was telling him, one of my devotees, she is Jewish. She came to me and, Swami, I have a little ego problem. Her name is Richa Kaiman. Richa, you have a little ego problem? Yes, Swami, a little ego problem. And I asked Richa, are you the Miss Universe? No, Swami. Do you have millions of dollars? No, Swami. Do you have any PhD degree? No, Swami. Then what do you have? People become proud if you have a fantastic beauty, or a lot of money, or a lot of learning. These are the three ways people get proud, you know. What do you have? Tell me first. You are right, Swami. I remember a funny story. Sarvabhogatananda ji in Boston, Swami. And Nina Stark, she got her master's degree in American English, American history. She wrote that book, Gift Unopened, on Vivekananda. Oh. So Nina wanted to have a PhD. Swami, Sarvabhogatananda ji said, do you really want PhD? Yes, Swami, I want to finish it. come with me, I shall give you PhD. So Swami took her to the kitchen. Here I give you PhD. Prepare Hindu dishes. Prepare Hindu dishes. That's a PhD. I shall give you in the kitchen. You don't have to go to university. Funny. And once I went to Boston in the Marshfield to give a slideshow. Thank you, Maharaj, I shall bring my slides. I need a carousel projector. So I went there, there is no carousel projector. Maharaj, where is my carousel projector? What did you say, brother? Carousel projector. Brother, I do not know all those things, you see. To me, carousel and casserole are both same. Then I explained to him that what I need. Oh, then you call to Archie. Archie has all those things. He lives in New Hampshire. He will bring for you. I shall never forget. Brother, a carousel and casserole both are same. Our monks have our own humor. His life was changed. Sri Ramakrishna sent him to Holy Mother because he was hiding, coming from the school, so that he can get some money to go back to Calcutta by share carry. Swami Advaitananda. Wife died, broken-hearted, old man. In old age, if a wife dies, very bad, very, very difficult. So he was working in China Bazar with a friend. He was a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. Benipal. Benipal says, go to Sri Ramakrishna. He will be the right person to remove the grief from your mind. This man came. One disciple of Sri Ramakrishna is older than Sri Ramakrishna, you will have to understand. Gopalananda was born in 1828 and Sri Ramakrishna was born in 1836. So 8 years older. So he came to Dakshineshwar and saw Sri Ramakrishna, an ordinary person. He was not attracted, went back. Then he thought, what is the use of going to him? Then Benipal again says, Hari, you do not know. The holy people sometimes don't like to be caught. You go again. So second time again, again, same thing happened. He returned. Third time he came. Then Sri Ramakrishna caught him. He returned home. He saw Sri Ramakrishna in his mosquito curtain. Sri Ramakrishna is everywhere. You see, you do not know when God will touch you. Don't give up. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Swami Adisharananda Ji has a joke. He used to say there an atheist, he was dying, and all his atheist friends came to sympathize him and was asking him, hold on our faith. Then they are shouting, brother, hold on, hold on. Then the man who was dying, he was saying, brother, there is nothing to hold. It is empty. They all atheists are, you know, consoling and encouraging. Brother, hold on. dying man was standing, there is nothing to hold on. Funny. Hold on. So he came to Sri Ramakrishna, held him. Then says, he had access with Holy Mother. So he became a shopper. All the groceries he will buy. Then Sri Ramakrishna used to take his service. Sometimes when they did cancer, they used to clean his wound with margusa solution, neem pata, very bitter. See, margusa leaf, they boiled it with that solution, with a Q-tip. He used to clean that thing according to doctor's suggestion. So one day he wanted to touch. Sri Ramakrishna said, "Ish! Pain! Stop!" "Sir, doctor asked me to clean your wound." "Oh, doctor asked you. So before you touch my wound, you must take my permission." "All right, sir." "Master, now I want to clean the wound. You want to clean my wound? All right, now you do." Boom. Sri Ramakrishna withdrew his mind, went into samadhi. You know, that technique we must learn. How to boom. Yes. Leave the body and then come back on your vacation, you know. That I learned from a Hollywood actress. She said, these two actresses had fight. One is Russian, another is an American. They said, the American actress told the other friend, "Let us have a vacation of relationship." That is a beautiful word I learned, vacation of relationship. Let us have a little vacation of relationship. They are fighting each other, you know. And the other fellow, she was an actress, she was actually dabar. Dabar means, all the Hollywood movies, she knows six languages. Russian, German, French, Italian, English. She can speak in any language you want. So when the movie comes, the English movie, she can dub in other languages. So she came to me, "Swami, I'm very sad. What happened? My only son will go, going to get married, but I shall not be able to see the marriage." I go, "Why?" "They will marry in the plane and then they will jump with a parachute in the Mojave Desert." "I am scared to see that marriage, Swami." "The marriage will be in the parachute." You see, this is the people I lived with. I'm scared, Swami. I cannot go see the marriage of my son. My life was Of course, you know that he bought 12 pieces of cloth and 12 chadors and made it ochre colors, made them ochre colored so that he wanted to get some virtue distributing these clothes among the monks who are going to Ganga Sagar for bath. Sri Ramakrishna, how about 12 pieces of ochre cloth you will give away to this? I have my disciples, you bring all the clothes to me. Then Sri Ramakrishna distributed the ochre cloth among his 12 disciples. That's it. Thakur gave shanas to his own disciples. Well, hey, why each disciple is equivalent to 1,000 monks of Ganga Sagar? Thakur told him. Very, very interesting. It was very simple. Swamiji used to tease him. Gopalda, this year our Good Friday fell on Wednesday. Please arrange the festival. No, what Swamiji said, that is correct. This time, Good Friday fell on in Balanagar mud, under one mosquito garden, several disciples are sleeping. So Gopal that night went to the bathroom, came back, and they saw his pillow is not there. Instead of pillow, there is a brick. Hey, Ganga. Mane Swami, Gangadhar Maharaj. Swami Akanjananda. Hey, Ganga, you did it. You did it. You took away my pillow. All right. You are my brother. Who wants their elder brother should put his head on a brick. I shall sleep on the brick. He put on. And how they love each other. All right, I shall put my head on the brick and I shall lie down. He was so embarrassed, he brought the pillow and put it in.
So Gangadhar Maharaj only did that?
Ganga was, hey Ganga, you did it. They used to do all sorts of things. He had a desire to, he used to take a little opium for his thing. So in Belur Math, milk is not very available, so a little milk for him, because he needs a little milk for opium. So, and he will boil the milk and there is a scum there. And one of the monks, you know, with a put a just straw there and sip the milk and put water there. And he was drinking that thing, you know, for a few days. Then somebody came to told him that this is happening. Oh, that is the reason I get dizziness, you know. It is anguish. They used to make their life interesting. Swami Subodhananda. Thakur taught him how to meditate. Oh, you cannot get meditation now. Come here. He put his thumb and placed between his eyebrows. Go and concentrate here. He got very good meditation. Amazing how Sri Ramakrishna used to teach his disciples. One touch. That's it. He had tremendous fear of ghost. Like 34. Sri Sri Ramakrishna then told him to go to the Panchavati and meditate. When he returned to his room, they did not know where the Panchavati was. So they went to the Kali temple for meditation. Afterwards, they went to the master's room. When they took leave of him, they were given some refreshments. The master said to Subodh, "There is a teacher who lives near you named Mahendra M. He often comes here and is a good man. Go to him now and then and also come here." Subodh made no reply. Later on, Subodh says, "Sir, he is a householder, he has wife and children, what can he teach?" Sri Ramakrishna said, "You go to him, he only talk about this place, and about God, about the spiritual life." So he went and told him, "Sir, I told this to Sri Ramakrishna that you are a householder, how can you teach me?" M said, "You are right. I am not fit to talk about God. But do you know what? I go to the ocean and I bring a pitcher of water. So those who come to me, I give them that ocean water. I do not give my water. So whatever I learn from the master, that I bring to my home. And that I distribute to people. I do not tell my words." How Sri Ramakrishna used to say, very outspoken. "It is true, I am nobody, but I live beside the ocean of knowledge and bliss, and I keep a few pitchers of that water with me. When a guest comes, I offer that to him. What else am I to talk about?" M continued, "You see, after I met the master, all my university education became insignificant. When I got my degrees, I felt I had learned everything in this world. But after I talked to the master, I realized that all my academic knowledge was nothing but ignorance. That knowledge is true knowledge, which removes ignorance and helps one to attain Brahman. This one sentence of the master removed my pride of learning. I wondered how people could become proud of these trivial university degrees." After some pleasant hours, Subodh took his leave. Thus did Sri Ramakrishna seal the bond of friendship and love among the disciples. Meet each other. Sri Ramakrishna asked him, "Fan me." He had a strong desire to serve his guru. While fanning the master, he would feel that all his fatigue had gone. The master could not bear for Subodh to fan him while standing. So he asked him to sit on his bed and fan him. Like a loving father, at that time the master took the palm leaf fan himself and fanned Subodh. Sometimes he would talk to Subodh about japa, meditation and brahmacharya, and would also test his faith and devotion. On one occasion, the master touched Subodh's body and blessed him, "Today I have taken away the lust from your mind." One day I asked the master, "I have read about gods and goddesses in books and heard about them from various people. Can one really see them?" Sri Ramakrishna replied, "One can see God as one sees two persons talking together or walking, but one should call on God from the bottom of one's heart, pray and cry for him, demand his vision from him, as children demand toys from their parents and with loud cries. Remove all worldly desires from the mind. Always remember, I have a mother and I am her son." On another occasion, the master said, "Those who shall attain a spiritual experience will feel comfortable with my ideas and teachings. He who has faith in me has faith in God. And again, he who does not have faith in me does not have faith in God either." The master has a special devotion for Mother Ganges. He used to say, Ganga Bari, Brahma Bari. The water of Ganges is as pure as Brahman. If anybody was overwhelmed with grief or affliction or delusion, he would tell them, go and drink a little Ganges water. You will be all right. It was amazing to find that person would get the desired result. The master's feet were extremely tender and delicate. He could not wear regular shoes. We had to place cotton padding inside the shoes so he could use them. In the earlier part of his life, the master used his golden amulet, but later he could not touch anything metallic. Someone had to carry the water pot for his washing. One day the master told me, the body is a cage of flesh and bone, but the mother is playing inside it. He who is Rama and Krishna is living in the body. You know, the way Sri Ramakrishna trained, first he will talk to you, then he will watch you, whether you are practicing or not. And then he will tell you his experience. Then he will give you experience. In this way, if when you read these things, you will see how they are interacting between the guru and the disciple. Amazing, this Sri Ramakrishna's way of teaching. This one is very interesting. One day the master asked him, what do you think of me, Subodh? People say many different things about you. I won't believe any of them until I find clear proof. At this master, who was egoless, said, very well. As a money changer checks a coin, likewise accept me after testing. In a letter written many years later, Swami Subodh said, but if they don't want to reveal themselves, who can recognize them? One day, when the master advised Subodh to practice meditation, he replied, sir, I won't be able to do that. If I have to practice meditation, why should I come to you? I may as well go to some other guru. Understanding his inner feeling, the master said, all right, you will not have to practice meditation, but think of me in the morning and evening. That will be enough. You know, do you know what happened? He had tuberculosis. He used to watch Sri Ramakrishna's face every day. Just before his death, he just changed his position, and there is a picture of Ramakrishna near his head. He looked Sri Ramakrishna's face and died. Very, very interesting, you know, that Koka. One day Swamiji said, go, some American women, Miss MacLeod and Mrs. Olibull, carry some of the food stuff to them. And when they say thank you say, I don't care. So when they were, in the American custom, thank you. So when they say thank you, then he said, don't care, I don't care. The ladies, American women, they are puzzled. What is the matter? He did not know English much, you know. Then he said, Swamiji did me shiv. Swamiji taught him that way. then Swami Akhandananda. His first visit to Dakshineshwar, Sri Ramakrishna's room in the evening. In the evening, sometimes in India, we put in our part of the country, they cut some coconut fiber and then set fire and then put dhoop dhuna, the powder, they put it there and just spark, whole room is full of dark with the smoke. Why? To get rid of mosquitoes. And then they will close the windows so that no mosquitoes are there. So he saw there and saw in that smoke the master was seated. You know, sometimes these descriptions help me to visualize Sri Ramakrishna in a different setting. Master was seated on his bed, meditating in the evening, whole room was full of smoke. There are various ways you can meditate. Massage my feet. He was giving hard. Ish! What are you doing? Gently. Don't press too much. I am going to take my bath, carry my cloth. He's teaching, young boy, teenage boy, how to serve a guru. Carry this water pot. He is watching that what does the guru do. You see, this is called dhyanochitra, picture for meditation. This young boy, he is training him, and so that in the future, when the guru will depart, he will be able to think about these guru's things, you know. One morning, Sri Ramakrishna asked me to accompany him to the Panchavati. There he told me to meditate facing the east. He left for a while, and when he came back, he set my body straight. He remarked, "You become a bit bent during meditation." He then returned to his room. After that, he asked me to carry water pot and go with him to the Chandi, the bathing ghat of the Ganges. He had go with him, he had his bath and returned to his room in his wet cloth. Before he put on his fresh cloth, he asked me to sprinkle a little Ganges water on it. There was a picture of Mother Kali of Kalighat in his room, which he saluted. Then he ate a little dry prasad of Lord Jagannath and gave some to me. Standing in front of the picture of Kali, he said several times, "Om Kali." He then put the palm on his right hand on his chest with a chest with the three finger tips touching the palm like this. And he stood there with half closed eyes for some time. After that, he took the offered fruits and sweets that had been sent to him from the Kali and the Vishnu temples. He then drank a little bel sharbat and gave me the prasad, after which he sat on his small cot and smoked from a hubble bubble. When the food offering was over in the temple, the master took me to the eastern veranda of his room and said, "Go and take prasad of Kali temple. It is cooked in the Ganges water and is very holy." I agreed. While walking through the courtyard, I looked back and noticed that Master was watching whether I was going to the kitchen of the Vishnu or Kali temple, because he was a vegetarian. I wondered why he had asked me to go to the non-vegetarian kitchen of Kali instead in the vegetarian kitchen of Vishnu. I did what the Master said, but I ate only the vegetarian dishes. I still remember the thick preparation of chana dal. When I returned to the master's room, I found him waiting near the east door with a betel rolled in his hand. Giving it to me, he said, "Chew it. It is good to chew a couple of betel rolls after meals. It removes bad breath." Sometimes I would think, the master says that most of my habits, such as taking only self-cooked food being a vegetarian, practicing austerity, chewing myrobalan, and so on, are for good old people. If they are good, why should I give them up? If they are not good, why should I give? One day I visited the master. You see, he does not want to disturb his way of sadhana. He was a man, Brahmacharya. He and Turiyananda are close friends, practicing austerity, following old habits and this and that. He wants to encourage them, at the same time he wants to change them very gently. Overnight, do not change. There will be shock. Sri Ramakrishna's way of teaching is so gentle. He did not disturb anybody's faith. His way of teaching was simple and natural. He knew how he make religion interesting. He taught individually, according to the temperament of each disciple. The master was never dry or boring. He would make jokes even while speaking on the most exalted topics. Once during the chariot festival of Balaram Bosu of Calcutta, Bosu's Calcutta residence, the master told Gangadhar and other young boy once, "Well, my boy, sing and dance well. Then Balaram will give you malpo, a delicious sweet." He was a loving father to his disciple as well as his friend. Then came, this one I really like. I shall read, then you will get a little better. I can sum up very good. Once I spent a night in Dakshineshwar with several other disciples, and the master had us all sit for meditation. While communing with our chosen deities, we often laughed and wept in ecstasy. The pure joy we experienced in those boyhood days cannot be expressed in words. Whenever I approached the master, he would invariably ask me, "Did you shed tears at the time of prayer and meditation?" And one day when I answered yes to this, how happy he was. Tears of repentance or sorrow flow from the corners of the eyes nearest to the nose, he said, and the joy, those of joy from the outer corners of the eyes. Suddenly master asked me, "Do you know how to pray?" You know, how did you know that? When you pray, did you cry to God? Yes. Did tears come from your eyes? Yes. From which corner of the eyes did it come? If it comes this, that means from repentance. If it comes from this side, that means that is ecstasy. Joyful tears come from the outer corner. And this is how Sri Ramakrishna knew all these things. Do you know how to pray? He is teaching how to pray. Listen, how to pray? Saying this, do you know how to pray? Saying this, he flung his hands and feet about restlessly like a little child impatient for his mother. When he immediately saw his guru, 48, 49 years old, lying down on the floor, lying on the stomach and throwing his hands and feet. As you have seen the children do when they cry, they throw hands and feet. Ow, ow. And this young boy is watching, the guru is demonstrating how to pray. That scene penetrated inside me, how to pray. So I told this story in Kali Mandir. The Kali Mandir people, they wanted to buy some property or something. They said, "Let us pray." All boys and girls there, they all lay down on the floor on their stomach. I shall never forget. I told this story and they demonstrated that they wanted to fulfill some of their projects. And praying to Sri Ramakrishna, "Master, help us to get this." All lay down on the stomach. "Mother dear, grant me knowledge and devotion. I don't want anything else. I can't live without you." While thus teaching us how to pray, he looked just like a small boy. Profuse tears rolled down his chest and he passed into deep samadhi. I was convinced the master did that for my sake. One morning, Sri Ramakrishna took me to the Kali temple. Whenever I went there alone, I stood outside the threshold. But on this occasion, the master took me into the sanctum sanctorum and showed me the face of the Lord Shiva. He was, of course, lying on his back while Kali stood over him. His face was not visible from outside the shrine, where one could only see the top of his head. The master said, "Look, here is living Shiva." I felt that Lord Shiva was conscious and breathing. I was astonished. How potent were the master's words? Up to that time, I had thought that the image was just like all other Shiva images I had seen. Sri Ramakrishna then gently pulled Mother Kali's cloth and placed her ornaments properly. When we left the temple, he was reeling like a drunkard. He was escorted to his room and with difficulty and remained for some time in samadhi. I cannot describe the details of that day. The joy the master poured into my heart cannot be communicated. After coming down from samadhi, the master sang many songs in an ecstatic mood. You see, as I told you, Sri Ramakrishna demonstrated religion. Another problem. I had a deep problem after my initiation. Problem is, my guru said, meditate on Sri Ramakrishna. And I was reading Vedanta. To me, name and form are Maya. Ramakrishna is also Maya. Why should I meditate on Maya? I, Atman is the highest than name and form, Brahman. So I shall go to the highest. Why I shall stay in the name and form? Always remember, when you think about Vedanta, think these five things. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Means Satchidananda. That is Brahman. That is God. According to Vedanta. Nama, Rupa. Name, form, that is Maya. Maya evolves and dissolves. Like waves of the ocean, rising, falling. Ocean is Brahman. But waves are not real. So why should I meditate on the wave? That is the... So I asked many Swamis. All they said, both are same. I was not convinced. I was looking for a direct statement of Sri Ramakrishna. I could not find in the Gospel. I could not find in the divine play. I was looking direct. I found only in Akhandananda's reminiscences. Listen. 564. Jijar ishto shetar atma, atma darshan ishto darshan ek. On another occasion, Gangadhar went to Dakshineswar and found that the master was in samadhi. When he came down to normal consciousness, he spoke of God vision and self-realization, saying, "One's own chosen deity is one's own self. The chosen deity means ishto, and the atma are identical. The vision of chosen deity is equivalent to self-knowledge." But that sentence solved my doubt. If I meditate on my Atman, sometimes I meditate, There is a mantra in the Chandogya Upanishad. Esha Atma Apohato Papma Vijaru Vimrittu Vishoka Vijigitsa Apipasa Satya Kama Satya Sankalpa. E Atma, Esha Atma, this is the Atma. Apohato Papma, sinless, there is no sin in the Atma. Vijaru, Jara, Jara means old age, disease, completely free from disease, old age. Bimrittu, deathless. Bishoka, Shoka means grief, griefless. Bijigitsa, free from hunger. Apipasa, free from thirst. Shottakam, truth, is jidhar. Shottashankalpa, everything is true. That is the Atma. So sometimes I meditate on that point. I am that Atma. And sometimes Sri Ramakrishna. So after having this kind of discussion, I get firm conviction. What Thakur said, that is right. Is right and wrong. Sometimes I tell people, sometimes we cannot differentiate what is right, what is wrong. We get confused. Swamiji said a beautiful statement. You do not need big dictionary and you will not have to go to encyclopedia. What makes you strong? That is right. And what makes you weak? That is wrong. That Swamiji said. The difference between right and wrong, the thing which you feel strong, strength inside, that is right. You see, when you do right, your inside, your conscience says, yes, you did right. And when you do wrong, your conscience says, you did wrong. That is the way we differentiate right and wrong. A beggar came for a little money. Sri Ramakrishna said, "Oh, there is a coin, give to that beggar." He gave the money to the beggar. Watch him. Now go, wash your hand with Ganges water. You touched money. How he is teaching this renunciation from the very beginning of this thing. Do not misuse things. Brush your teeth. Immediately Master raised his head and pillow and in Kashipur. All of a sudden he asked, "Hey, what is it?" The doctor asked the master not to talk because of his painful throat. However, out of motherly affection, the master asked Gangadhar through a gesture, "Have you brushed your teeth?" Gangadhar nodded his head. On another occasion, one of the attendants said, "I know." Immediately, master raised his head from the pillow and remarked, "What do you say? You know? Never say that. Say, as long as I live, so long do I learn. Jato din bachi, tato din shiki. Never say I know. What do you know?" Sri Ramakrishna formed this monastic order at Kashipur. Then Swami Vigyanananda. "But do you know what I saw in Sri Ramakrishna? My first impression about Ramakrishna. Anande Phuchi Phata. In our part of the country, some melon, we call it bangi. It is not watermelon as the green, that big one, not that one, the other variety. They generally grow on the sand bank of the river. And when they ripe, they crack, just like pomegranate. when they arrive, they crack. You see all the seeds that they are pomegranate.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, my first impression about Sri Ramakrishna is Anande Phuchi Phata. When he has so bliss inside, he cannot hold it. As if his face will about to crack. His precious face will break. So much joy inside, he cannot hold it. That is my first impression about Sri Ramakrishna. You know, some people say about spiritual life, spiritual life. And we used to tease in our monastery, if we see a gloomy, grouchy face, hey, we Chirapunji make jatse, Chirapunji make jatse. The cloud of Chirapunji in the northwest part of India, you know?
Yeah.
Average rainfall, 500 inches rainfall per year. The water, you know, the cloud goes from Bay of Bengal, it hits three mountains, Khasiya, Garo, Jayantia. And there is the maximum rainfall. And that is the best place for the tea plantation. Tea loves water, but not a stagnant water. Water must go down. So most of the tea gardens you will see slope of the mountains. So that is the way. We used to say, hey, gloomy face means, hey, we Chirapunji make that shit. Chirapunji's cloud is going. If we see gloomy, grouchy. I went to Bank of America. On the counter, there is a sign. If you are grouchy or simply mean, there will be $10 charge to put up with you. $10 charge. If you are gloomy, grouchy, and mean and complaining, we shall charge you $10 extra in the bank. So I asked that girl, could you give me a piece of paper? So I wrote down and wrote in my diary. From lesson from the Bank of America counter. Anande Phuchi Phata. Next, he was going to Scottish Church College and, you know, can you wrestle? Oh yes. Wrestle with me. Look, what kind of guru is this? Wants to wrestle? See, Ramakrishna was, you know, all the wrestlers, they slap on their thigh, you know. Come on! So Sri Ramakrishna was doing the same thing. What kind of guru is this? He also, whatever. I was strong and the master cannot fly, big body. So he, well, come on! Sri Ramakrishna came, grabbed his two upper arms and they push each other, you know, the wrestlers do that in the beginning. And press and push near the wall. And then Sri Ramakrishna was smiling, he released his power and began another collapse. Did you win? He won. Then later life began, Maharaj says, he won. He got me whole life. He won. I could, I pressed it, but actually he won. That is a funny, sometimes I visualize that funny scene in his Ramakrishna room. Sri Ramakrishna pushing avatar. You know, Sri Ramakrishna makes religion interesting, I tell you frankly. It is not boring, not dull. Koka Maharaj, sir, you have throat problem because we know how to cure it. In our home, if we have a sore throat, we drink tea and it cure goes away. You should drink tea. Oraka, Koka says, I must drink tea, please bring prepare tea for me. Koka says, my sore throat, my cancer. He did not understand cancer. My throat will be cured if I drink tea. Then Maharaj said, you know, that's such tea is very hot. that will aggravate your throat. You better not to take tea. Then again, Thakur Maharaj Thakur was telling Khoka Maharaj, Khoka, Rakhal says it will aggravate my throat. I cannot have it. One day Khoka Maharaj asked Swamiji. Swamiji was, hey Khoka, prepare tobacco for me. He brought tobacco as a smoking. Khoka, ask a boon from me. Whatever you ask, I shall give to you. Swamiji was smoking. And what will you give him? Thakur gave me everything, I don't need anything. Are Khoka, ask something. Whatever you will ask, I shall give to you. Then Swami Brahmananda says, hey Khoka, Swamiji is in a great mood, ask something, that is a good time. Well, if you give me a boon, so give me this boon, so that I may not miss any chi in my life. Every day I must have chi. Later on he was asked, did you ever miss any chi in your life? He said, never. Even in the Himalayas traveling, I always got a cup of tea. This is Swamiji's blessing. How Sri Ramakrishna's disciples asked, he went to, Latu Maharaj went to Jagannath and asked two prayers. Lord, I cannot travel many places, and because I have no money to traveling, so let me be in one place, and whatever I eat, that should be digested. These are the two boons I want. I do not want to travel, and whatever I eat, that should be digested. Then some devotees asked me, Maharaj, why did you ask that boon? You see, we are monks. Whatever people give me food, I eat. And if my stomach problem, I cannot concentrate on God. So I asked that boon. Good digestion means that my stomach is good, so that I can meditate. How these disciples pray, I sometimes see how they pray. What do they pray? Sri Ramakrishna Akanyanji will say, do you meditate? No, sir, I do not get good meditation. What? You don't get good meditation? Come here. As I approached the master, he asked me, stick out in my tongue. When I did, he drew a figure on it, and with his finger, my whole body began to tremble, and I felt an unspeakable bliss within. Then the master said, go to the Panchavati and meditate there. Following his instructions, I slowly moved towards the Panchavati. I walked with difficulty, intoxicated with joy from the master's touch. Somehow I reached there and sat for meditation. Then I lost all outward consciousness. When I regained my ordinary state of mind, I saw the master seated by me. He was rubbing my body with his hands. His face shone with a heavenly smile. I was still in an intoxicated mood. He asked me, well, how was your meditation? It was very good, sir, I replied. Then the master said, from now on, you will always have deep meditation. He further asked, did you have a vision? I reported my experience to the master as faithfully as I could. Then I followed him to his room. I was alone with him. That day he talked to me for a long time and gave me many spiritual instructions. I was overwhelmed with the master's love and compassion for me. I had not realized before that he had so much feeling for me. Sri Ramakrishna's grace was boundless. On that day, the master said to me, never get involved with women, always be careful. Let there be no stain on your character. Never look at a woman, even if she is made out of gold. Do you know why I am saying all this to you? You belong to the Divine Mother, and you will have to do a lot of work for her. A pecked fruit cannot be offered to the mother, so I tell you, be careful. You know, little life he was so big, people used to say, even a she-fly cannot enter into his ashram. But then, do you know what happened? Then when Swamiji returned, he told Swamiji, Swamiji, you are in America, you mixed with women and all these things. But Master told these things, you know, you must stay away from women. Swamiji's face became very green. Peshon, how much did you understand Sri Ramakrishna? What Sri Ramakrishna told you, you practice. What Sri Ramakrishna told me, I shall practice. Master destroyed my idea of sex. I do not see woman. I see the Atman. I see the Divine Mother. I do not see man and woman. I do not see that thing. Master destroyed my sex idea. You follow what Thakur told you. What Thakur told me, I shall follow. So he taught individually. Amazing, this Sri Ramakrishna's way of teaching, you know. Fine. One occasion, I was massaging Master's feet when a gentleman from Konnagur came to visit him and he had left. The Master said, you know, I can see inside of man's mind just as I can see the objects inside a glass case. I thought to myself, well, then he can also see everything in me. What a dangerous man he is. But the Master would not only speak of the goodness of other, in others, not of their evil deeds or tendencies. Once during my college days, when I went to visit the Master at Dakshineswar, I asked him, is God with form or without form? The Master replied, God is with form as well as without form, and again he is beyond both form and formlessness. Then I asked, if God is all, is this cot also God? The bed, you know. He answered emphatically, yes, this cot is God, this glass, this utensil, this wall, everything is God. As he spoke, I experienced an inner transformation and he was lifted beyond the realm of ordinary consciousness. My heart was illumined and I saw the light of Brahman everywhere. During my youth, I had read the philosophies of Kant, Hegel and other great philosophers. One day I said to the Master, sir, what do you know about philosophy? Have you read the books of Kant and Hegel? He replied, what are you saying? Throw away all those books. Knowledge of God is not in any book. Those books are all products of ignorance. What a great statement the Master made. Later, finding no way out, I gave up arguing. In the beginning, we need faith for God's realization. Once at Dakshineswar, the Master gave me an English book and asked me to read and explain to him. You know, as Sri Ramakrishna did not know English. It was stated in the book, speak the truth, do not covet what belongs to others, control your senses. On hearing this, the Master felt elated, like a boy, and expressed his great delight. The Master's joy, even now, is deeply impressed in my mind. I think that his expression of great delight was due to the fact that if a person attains perfection in those three disciplines, he is sure to reach God. Wherever he heard any discussion about God, he would go into ecstasy. When the Master was blessed by, for the first time with the vision of Divine Mother, he thought, if this vision of mine is true, then let this big stone, which was in front of the Navabath, jump up thrice. Immediately that stone did, in fact, jump thrice. Whatever he thought came to pass. Seeing this, the Master was fully convinced of the genuineness of his vision. You know, when I was a young boy, when I read this story, I was thinking, how is it possible? A big piece of a stone is jumping. How is it possible? Doubt. But he says, Sri Ramakrishna tested his vision. People would say, oh, no, we cannot believe it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Towards the end of Sri Ramakrishna's life, pointing to his own picture, he told Hari Prasanna, Vijnananda, look, I dwell in this picture, meditate on me. Yes, I will, replied Prasanna. I cannot express how much love the Master had for us. We don't have that capacity to love others. We became intoxicated seeing the Master, and now people are intoxicated just hearing, first by hearing his name, how blessed they are. I shall stop here. So we more or less covered all these 16 disciples. They are how Sri Ramakrishna trained them. I told you in brief, you know, in three sessions we covered. If you want to read, know more details, read Ramakrishna as we saw him and God lived with them. You will be able to learn more about Sri Ramakrishna's way of teachings. Of course, the divine play and gospel are there. You see, do you know what is the purpose of discussing this thing, reading these things? It will help your meditation. All these stories, incidents, episodes, they will peep in your mind. You will be carried away with these stories. For the reason I always ask people, study, it is very important. Om Niranjanam Nittamananta Rupam Bhaktanukampadrita Vigraham Vai Ishavataram Parameshamidyam Tam Ramakrishnam Shirasanamama यथाग्निर्दयिका शुक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता ही या सर्वविद्या सर्वपम तम सर्वदानं प्रणमेम्यं नमः श्री यतिराजाय विवेकानंद सूरै सचित सुख स्वरूपाय स्वामिने तपहरिने कालिंदी फुल्ल कमले माधवी न कीड़ा रतु ब्रह्मानंद नमस्तुभ्यं सद्गुरु लोकनायक ब्रह्मानंदम परम सुखदम केवलम ज्ञानमूर्ति दंद्वातीतं सदृशं तत्त्वमसदिलक्षं एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षीभूतं भवतीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि सद्गुरुं तं नमामि सद्गुरुं तं नमामि